I greet you with blessings and joy on this 18th Sunday after Pentecost, October 4th. My name is Pastor Melinda Vandersice, and I serve our Redeemer Lutheran Church and First Presbyterian Church in Newberry. I'm also the administrative interim pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Sault Ste. Marie. I'm pleased to announce that both our Redeemer and First Presbyterian in Newberry will resume in-person worship services next Sunday, October 11th. Our Redeemer service is at 9 a.m., and First Presbyterian's is at 11 a.m. We gather together today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join together as sisters and brothers in Christ, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Divine God, we try to grow happily, patiently, and faithfully in the soil you have prepared for us. You feed us, shelter us, and provide for our daily needs. Yet we often fail to offer you the fruit of our harvest. We act as though we were abandoned children, trying to make it on our own. We feel forsaken, attacked by wild boars, cut down by our enemies, and neglected in the wilderness of our lives. Yet, through it all, you remain faithful. Renew our lives once more, and we will call your name on high. Precious One, be assured that God's love is sufficient. In the warmth of the sun, the fertility of the soil, and the refreshment of life-giving water, we have been given all that we need. God hears our cries and comes to save us. Through Christ, we may lay aside our sins. Through Christ, we know we are safe. In the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of the day. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right, and by your merciful guidance, help us to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our readings for today are from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, Psalm 80, verses 7 through 15, Philippians chapter 3, verses 4b through 14, and the Holy Gospel for today is according to St. Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 through 46. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds, because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Typically, I perform about 5 to 6 weddings a year. Most of them occur within the prison system. This year has been different because of the coronavirus. Prison visits haven't been allowed because of the pandemic. And even couples in our communities have struggled to plan and hold a wedding this year. Venues had to decrease their capacity to conform to government orders. Caterers restricted menus based on safe handling procedures that were required while abiding by social distancing regulations. And just the possibility of an asymptomatic participant or guest attending a wedding ceremony and reception caused many couples to change their plans. One of my requirements before performing a wedding is that couples must go through premarital counseling with me, even those in the prison system. I have a 9-page booklet couples must read and answer questions to even before we meet. One topic in the booklet is about communication and resolving conflict. How do you and your partner resolve conflict or disagreements? That's often a question in the booklet that can take quite a bit of time to work through. Often, I've heard the response, "Pastor, we don't fight." I admire those couples. And not saying that they aren't answering truthfully, I always dig a little deeper. Never? Well, truth be told, most couples, if not all, have had conflict in the relationship. I think working through a conflict and the resolution process during the dating and engagement period may help the couple understand what they may have to deal with once they are married. My point in the question is to have them talk about how they handle conflict. Does one or both scream, swear, carry on, throw dishes or punch the wall, walk away in silence or disgust, give up and let the other one win? I prefer to walk away. Walk away and let things settle down before I say something I may regret later. Don't sweep it under the rug, but discuss it when tempers have cooled. Of course, my husband and I don't have conflict. Wink, wink. How do you handle conflict in your relationships with your loved ones, your workmates, your school friends, or your neighbors, your personal friends? Some deal with conflict very well, while others, well, it just ends badly. In our gospel reading for today from Matthew 21, there is a conflict occurring. We just heard the details. A landowner plants a vineyard, digs the wine press, and does everything else one would need to do to have a decent harvest. Then he leases the vineyard to tenants to run things while he goes away. After the harvest, he sends his servants to collect what is his legal possession. The tenants decide they want possession, and so they beat, stone, and kill the servants. The landowner sends more servants, and the same thing happens. They're beaten, stoned, and killed. So the landowner sends his son. Surely the tenants will listen to him, correct? Wrong. For whatever reason, the tenants think that if they kill the heir, they will receive possession of the vineyard. When the son arrives to receive what is due his father, he also is killed. So many questions run through my mind about this parable. Why in the world would the tenants think they could get away with this? Well, they did get away with it when the first servants were sent, killed, and there were no repercussions. They got away with it a second time by killing more servants. And it sounds like they were going to get away with it a third time by killing the man's son. Did they know the landowner had only one son? Did they think the landowner didn't have any more servants to send? And why in the world would the landowner, after his first servants were beaten, stoned, and killed, send more servants, and then his own son. Did he think they would be treated any differently? When Jesus finished this parable, he asked the people, "When the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They answered, "Of course, the landowner would do the same. Kill the tenants and lease the land to someone else, someone more reputable." The conflict, like often is discussed in premarital counseling, could have been avoided from exploding. If the tenants weren't happy with the arrangements the landowner had made with them, it seems like they should have just sat down, had a conversation, and worked it out. Instead, they exacerbated the situation by killing the servants. The conflict grew and more servants were sent to the landowner's rightful claim and more servants were killed. And then the landowner's son was killed. A colleague shared, "This conflict, this small fire between Jesus and the Pharisees, began early in his ministry. It was right after the call of Matthew where Jesus had dinner with the so-called scum of society, the tax collectors and other sinners and prostitutes. Right at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus was hanging out with the wrong people in the eyes of the Pharisees. Pretty soon, Jesus was doing other inappropriate things to offend the Pharisees. He violated the Sabbath regulations that the Pharisees were imposing on the people. Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. As early in the Jesus story as Mark 3, the New Testament says that the Pharisees held counsel with the Herodians how to destroy him. In other words, from the get-go, the Pharisees were out to kill Jesus. From the get-go, the Pharisees were so secretly angry at Jesus that they wanted to kill him. I don't think that Jesus perceived at that moment how intense the Pharisees' hatred of him was. 3 years passed, and that conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees was growing hotter and hotter by the week, and finally, in the last week of Jesus' ministry, it was to the exploding point. And that is the parable Jesus shares with them today. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they realized it was about them, was against them, was calling them out. They wanted to have Jesus arrested right then, but they feared the crowds. Oh, they had to wait until another time, a better time, when hopefully Jesus would be alone, when the crowd wasn't around, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then they would have Jesus arrested and have him killed. See, that was the Pharisees' goal all along. Their goal was to kill Jesus. Kill the son, the landowner's son, God's only son. They had already silenced the prophets and killed the messengers of the owner. Now they were plotting to kill the son. God sent Jesus, the heir of the vineyard, the future owner of the vineyard, and, as we know, he too was killed. Do we see ourselves in this parable? Do we silence the messengers of God by ignoring those who speak truth to us and criticize us as being fake? We have people who will be honest with us, whether we want them to or not. But do we listen to them? I'd have to say that my messenger from God is most often my husband. I can count on him to tell me the truth about my actions, what I say, and what I do. I listen to him whether I like to hear what he says or not. He is my sounding board when I'm struggling with criticism from others. He helps me work through constructive criticism and listens to me process the situation before a conflict arises. We live in a time where it doesn't take much for a conflict to arise. We struggle to find peace in our lives and hope in our world. We let others around us tell us what to think and to say and to do. We forget that God is in charge. We forget that we must put our trust and our faith in God. We forget to pray as we should, and to whom we should. From Psalm 107, we hear, Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. And let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell of his deeds with songs of joy. During this troubled time that we are living in, let your hearts and your minds focus on Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world, who lived, who died, and who rose again in victory, so that the conflicts of this world might be a mere stepping stone to our heavenly kingdom. Amen. This concludes our service for today. And now please receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit that makes us one. Amen. Again, my name is Pastor Melinda VanderSice. Thank you for joining me today. Go in peace, serving Christ by serving one another. Thanks be to God.